That's a blessing. All right, turn to Luke chapter 5, if you will. I'm thankful to have the opportunity to preach tonight, and I hope really I can be a blessing to you. I hope tonight there's some sinners in this crowd. I was reading where Christ Jesus, when he came, he said he didn't come to call the righteous, but he came to call sinners to repentance. He said in due time he died for the ungodly. So I hope there's some sinners and some ungodly folks in here tonight. Because if there is, I have some good news for him or for her. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. Well, that's good news for me. I can't speak for anybody but myself. But I was so wicked and ungodly, it took the death of a sinless man to get me saved. And so tonight, I'm not going to tell you anything you don't already know, haven't already heard. I just hope I can be a blessing to you and encourage you. But I want to preach on a thought the Lord's had on my heart for a while, and I finally just sat down and got a message out of it. And I was telling Jack or somebody, it's always better when it's up here than when it comes out here. But I'm thankful to be able to preach this tonight. I was just thinking this year, I've been preaching for 30 years already. I didn't even expect to live this long, let alone be preaching this long. But I'm glad the Lord has saw fit to use me. And I hope you'll continue to do that. Luke chapter 5, and let's begin around verse 12. It came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face, and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Let's pray again. Father, we're thankful again for this time. Thank you for the singing already we've heard. Lord, thank you for the praises. I pray now, Jesus Christ, to be exalted. Lord, you know my heart. You know my desire tonight's to be a blessing and a help. Lord, I pray if there's one here tonight lost, I ask you to convict them, show them their need of Jesus Christ today. God, hide me behind Jesus Christ, that he's glorified, that he's exalted. Lord, give us a glimpse of thee we haven't seen. I pray you'll do something unusual here tonight. Lord, move in this service. We desire thy presence. God, I know without you we can do nothing. And Lord, I'm dependent upon thee. I ask you to meet with us for thine own glory. I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to preach tonight on the subject of the cleansing of a sinner. And certainly, if you're saved tonight, you have some idea what I'm talking about. Now, if you compare, there are actually three accounts of this event. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1 to 3. Mark chapter 1, verse 35 to 45. And then here in Luke 5. And you learn some details in these other accounts that you don't read here in the Gospel of Luke. But by comparing them, what we learn is that Christ went to a mountain. And while he was on the mountain, it was a solitary place where he was alone. He went there a long time before daybreak, and he went there to pray. And I'm convinced if the sinless Son of God needed to pray for several hours before he went into his ministry that day, I think that's good example for you and I. But as he did that and he came down to this certain city, you notice he came there according to Mark's gospel to preach. Now I like that. God's only begotten son was a preacher. That tells me God likes preaching. I don't understand God's people. They'll hear, well, we got a guest preacher tonight, so they'll run off and go somewhere else. They're scared to death of preaching. Why is that? I don't understand that, really. I don't care who's preaching. I want to hear it. Amen. I have never came to a meeting, regardless of who was preaching. If I came with the right heart attitude, God gave me something from that preacher. Amen. I come in here expecting to hear from the Lord. I don't care who's preaching. It don't matter to me who it is. Now, thankfully, we got a good pastor that preaches the Word of God week in and week out, sound doctrine. I've said it, and I don't repent of it. He's as good a preacher as you'll ever hear in this country. Amen. I've listened to some of the best preachers this nation has offered in my lifetime, and I've never heard one to beat this guy as far as his delivery, as his content. the amount of time he puts in study and preaching the Word of God. Hey, and I'm not just bragging. I'm telling you, he takes his calling seriously like the rest of these preachers here do. I may not be much, but what I'm doing because God called me to do it. That's why I'm doing it. I didn't call myself. Mama didn't call me. No, sir. My wife don't tell me what to preach. No, sir. God called me, and I preach because he told me to do it. I've got a big mouth, always have had, and I can't keep it shut. I try sometimes, but it keeps me in trouble. But now, if God likes preaching, and I think we ought to like preaching, amen?
Amen?
I mean, really, he has chosen by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe.
Amen.
So we ought to enjoy preaching. Now, personally, I have my own likes and dislikes. There are some preachers, I just don't get much out of them. And not against them. I'm sure God called them and God's using them, but they just don't float my boat, you might say. Now, I may be that way tonight, so you bear with me, and I'll hurry and try to get done before 9 o'clock. Now, I'm only kidding. I have to be up at the radio station by 8:30, so. But seriously, let's look at this passage tonight, the cleansing of a sinner. Now, there has to be some ingredients. If you ladies make a cake or something, I'm sure you have a recipe. And there's a pinch of that and a little of this. I don't know nothing about cooking. I surely don't. But I know I've seen the recipes, and it's got down a quarter cup of something, and you know. But you got ingredients that go into this thing to make it come out right and taste right. Well, there are ingredients involved to the cleansing of a sinner. Now, you may not be as bad as some folks, but if you are walking on two legs and breathing, you're a sinner. Amen. I remember not long ago, well, it's been a few years now. I say not long, time gets away. I was walking out of a business, and a lady I'd went to school with, hadn't seen since school, was in the cashier's line there, and I just pulled out a gospel tract and began to witness to her. And the first thing she said was, "Oh, I was not as bad as you." I said, "Thank God you weren't." I said, "But the truth is, you're a sinner.
Amen.
If you don't get saved, you're dying to go to hell and fry like a grease ball."
Amen.
That's the truth.
Yes,
I know that's hard and plain, but it's true.
Amen.
I'd rather have them hell scared as hell scorched than you. So, our business is to tell the truth. Jesus Christ said he came into this world to bear witness to the truth. That's hard to do nowadays. It's not politically correct.
Yeah.
You're not going to be popular. I mean, honestly, just like he preached this morning, there are a lot of folks in the background that get no limelight, no spotlight. Nobody ever hears of them. But I'm telling you, you stick your neck out, you get out on the limb where the fruit is, somebody's liable to cut it off behind you. But I mean, you going to do anything for God or not? You have to make your mind up. Do you want to or don't you? I made my mind up a long time ago. I'm going to go the way the book says go, and then we'll just let the fallout fall where it falls. And when we get to the judgment, we'll see how it goes in. All right? Amen. Well, first of all, the first ingredient in the cleansing of a sinner is a man that's full of leprosy. Now, you notice Luke says this, "Behold, a man full of leprosy." Now, you think about that. This man was completely engulfed. He was full. You know what his future was? He was going to endure the suffering and the pain and the shame until he finally just fell over dead. That was his future. We're living in a world today that's doping itself into eternity. People committing suicide. People staying high all day long. They go to work drunk. They go home and they hit the bottle. They got nothing to live for. They've got nothing inside to help them. Hey, I'm telling you tonight, there's a better way.
Yes, sir.
33 years ago, I met Jesus Christ. I got off dope and I got off the bottle. And I've been off ever since. Amen. And I don't need anything artificial pumped in me to get excited. I don't need to watch the checkerboard square boys run in their orange shirts. No, sir. I can watch Alabama and get excited. Nothing wrong with getting excited about that stuff. I like it. I watched Florida put it on somebody this afternoon in softball. Amen. I enjoy it. But I don't need all that to get excited. Man, we're up in Washington. I just got to look around. I thought, boy, this is exciting. Man, this is real. This is where the rubber meets the road. Man, it's easy to get up in here and testify and brag and talk. I mean, ain't nobody in here going to disagree with you. It's easy to get in here and preach and have a big time. We all pretty well agree. But you get out on a street corner where nobody wants to hear it, it's a different situation. But the truth is, you need a man full of leprosy. Well, leprosy in the Old Testament is a type of sin, according to the Bible. Now, we're sinners by birth. We can't help ourselves. David said, I was shapen in iniquity, and sin did my mother conceive me. We're born full of sin. We don't have a choice. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Nobody had to teach me how to lie. I knew how to do it. I'd get in trouble. My mama said, you do that? No, sir. It was him. I didn't do it. Not me, mama. I'm your baby boy. I wouldn't do that. And my brother Brian got a lot of whippings for it. And then he whipped me, but you know, it kind of goes in a circle. But we had a lot of fun. But I mean, that's normal, isn't it? People lie when they're scared, don't they? I mean, your children, they do something at home, break something. They, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. Daddy gonna whoop me now. I didn't do it. That's a normal human reaction. It's our nature. We're sinners by birth. We're sinners by practice. Honestly, folks, take it from one that's been there. You don't want to live like the world. I tried it for a lot of years. I wasn't saved till I was a grown man. I envy these children. Honestly, I appreciate Brother Jack. I thank God for him every day. I mean that sincerely. I love these young people and what's going on around here. Every time they get up here and get to singing, I can just about run around the building. I ain't kidding you. I can swing on the chandelier. I enjoy that stuff. Man, us old geezers, we ain't going to be around here a long time. One of these days, we're going to kick over and croak, and then what? I'm thankful for these young people. They're being taught right. I got saved when I was a grown man. I didn't have anybody. I just sat down with an old King James Bible and started reading. And I've been trying to do what it said ever since. And I mean, I don't know any other way to do it. Nobody told me you ought to do it this way, you ought to do it that way, or this. I just said, man, that's what it says. Let's do it. And it works. But I've seen a whole bunch of sinners get cleansed. I went to a funeral over here the other night, and the guy came up and grabbed me, just bawling, and was hugged me and just cried and weeping, said, you remember that Saturday I came to your house? I said, well, yeah. He said, I'll never forget it. He came to my house and got saved in my living room. I mean, I don't dwell on that. I don't even think about it. I've had people saved in almost every room in my house. I don't think about that. But he was, man, that's a milestone in his life. I didn't, that sinner got cleansed and got off the bottle that day. That's something to be happy about. Yes, folks, man, light smile. Your face not going to crack. Yeah. Y'all look like you come in here expecting somebody to beat you or something. I love you, really. I mean, I roar like a lion, but I'm not nearly as mean as I sound. I got a great blessing one time. A lady here, I came to a wedding, and she was here on a bed, blind, and I got a great blessing. She listened to me on the radio, and she just heard my voice, and I came over, and she was kind of feeling me out, and, you know, and she recognized my voice as soon as I spoke, and her comment was this, and I love this, and I got a blessing. She said, well, you talk a lot bigger than you are. I said, amen. Boy, ain't that the truth. Well, that's a blessing, man. We roar like lions, but I mean, that's the book. I got the book. I can afford to run my mouth if I'm right.
Yeah, amen.
I mean, the district attorney told me truth's the infallible defense.
Yeah, amen.
If you tell them the truth, tell it, and tell it like you mean it. It's hard for somebody to convince me if they don't even believe what they're saying.
Yeah, brother, that's right.
But the truth is, you got to have a man full of leprosy. This man, according to the Old Testament law, was unclean. Now, I'm going to try my best to stick on this outline. I never do, but I'm going to try to. The Bible says this in Leviticus 13, the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, his head bare. He shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone without the camp, shall be his habitation. Now, that's the future of a leper in the nation of Israel. And you know what God said about you and I? If we're saved, you know what the Bible says you and I are supposed to do? Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach.
Amen.
Well, you don't hear much about that anymore, do you? We talk about let's all get along, let's all love one another, let's be politically correct, let's don't offend anybody. And the Bible says we're to be like an unclean leper outside the camp, bearing his reproach.
Amen.
You take your cross up daily, like God said. Do you even know what it is? Well, ingredients. There has to be a man full of leprosy. He was unclean. He was an outcast. He was outside the camp. One of the charges the Pharisees made against Jesus Christ was, this man receiveth sinners and he eateth with them. Well, I thank God he did.
Amen.
Now, we're all different. Some of y'all had the advantage of being raised in a Christian home. A lot of us didn't. I had the advantage of being raised by a drunken daddy, and I had a lot of problems with that. But you would have thought by an example he said, I would have went the other way, but I didn't. I followed in his footsteps, and it caused me a lot of trouble. One of the reasons I started preaching in the jails because I spent time there myself. Only I was wearing the stripes, and the door clanked behind me. And I can't say I'm thankful for that, although at the time I needed it. But the truth is, there's a whole lot of them folks that if they weren't locked up in my jail cell, you'd never get their attention. I tell them out on a regular basis when I'm preaching over there. Look, if God puts you here for a reason, you're in this jail, now maybe God can do something with you.
Amen.
You know, I was sitting at the house one day, got all discouraged and frustrated, and thought, well, what's the point in preaching in the jail anyhow? Ain't nothing good coming of it. Go over there week in and week out, and you don't really see nothing going on. And I had a picture there of me and a lady that came to church here. She's dead now. But that lady got straightened out over in the jail and got out. And I didn't thought about it. But she gave me this picture, was taken here on the steps. And I flipped that thing over one day, just I don't know why, and never looked at it. And she had wrote a message on the back of that picture. And boy, I began to read that thing, and she began to talk about how she appreciated us coming to the jail and our faith that we were sharing with them. And man, I began to read that thing, and I thought, well, glory to God. Maybe it is worth it after all. I mean, we don't always see what God is doing. But this man was full of leprosy. He was unclean. But he was touched by the master's hand. Now, you know, you couldn't touch a leper. These fellows walked around with their mouth, their face covered, and they stayed away from everybody. God told them in Leviticus 10, I want you to be able to tell the difference between the clean and the unclean, the good and the bad. You need to be able to discern some things. We're living in an age when they have no discernment. People can't see the wrong in anything. Well, everybody's doing it. What's wrong with that? That was my reasoning. Well, Mama, everybody's doing it. Why can't I go to the parties? Everybody's going. All my friends will be there. What she didn't know was all my friends were smoking dope and drinking liquor, and she didn't know that. And I wasn't about to tell her. And some of y'all, you think, well, my dad and my mom, they're too hard on me. They won't let me do anything. Well, thank God for it. My mama should have took me to the woodshed a whole lot more than she did, but I'll tell you this. Soon as I got big enough to do what I wanted, that's what I did. And a child left to himself shall bring his mother to shame. You better believe it.
Amen.
So, you need to thank God if you got parents that are trying to point you in the right direction. It's for your own good. A lot of times you can't see that till you get over on this side and you're an old geezer like me and you got one foot in the grave and another one on a banana peeling. Well, it's going to happen. I read about a wild animal tamer over in England years ago, and this fella, I mean, lions and tigers, he'd just tangle with all of them. And this fella got him a boa when this thing was just 2 or 3 days old, and he raised that thing. 25 years he kept it. And that thing was 25 foot long and weighed several hundred pounds. I mean, a huge snake. I don't know about you, but I always fear if the Lord wanted me to handle snakes, he'd put handles on them. I'll handle them, but it'll be with a shotgun or a hoe or something. Amen. All I need to know about a snake is which way to run. But this fella, he had trained that thing. And writing a certain part of the act on stage, He would give the signal, and that snake would crawl out. 25-foot long, huge. And it would just start curling around him, and all the way up till you couldn't even see him. His thing had just completely engulfed him. And then everybody would cheer, and then, you know, that was the end of the show. 25 years he did that. And one day he was putting on a show there in England, and that thing came out right on cue, coiled right around him, and just engulfed him, and boy, everybody's cheering. I mean, this is part of the show, and all at once this fella let out a blood-curdling scream, and suddenly they realized this wasn't part of the act. And everybody got deathly quiet, and this guy's screaming, and they hear his bones cracking, and for whatever reason, that snake just crushed him to death. 25 years. That's the way sin operates. It'll always take you further than you intend to go. I know from personal experience, I got involved in a lot of things before I was saved that I never intended to do. Honestly, I never intended to get involved in some of the things I got involved with. But you just go a little further, and then you go a little further, and you get away with it. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the hearts of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Amen. We think, well, I got away with it, and I can do it again. You get away with it again, you get away with it again. And finally, the Lord draws the line and lays a smack down on you. And that's the way sin works. Just like that snake, it wrapped around him, and that was the end of it. And he'd got away with it for 25 years, and it got him. And now this world is full of people that have... I've talked to people in this county that I personally have known for years, and they're lost, and they think, well, I got away with it. I'm going to get away with it. Someday, maybe, I'll get right. And someday never comes. And they just keep going, and they just keep going until ultimately you know the end of it. But that's the way sin operates. Well, he was touched by the Master's hand. I'll get to that more in a minute. But, you know, Jesus could do something like that. The Bible declares he bore our infirmities in his own body. I mean, he came, that was part of his mission. But there was a reason why he touched this man, and I'll get to that shortly, Lord willing. But the ingredients to cleanse a sinner, there has to be a man full of leprosy. There has to be a need. If somebody's not lost, they're not going to get saved. You go out here and witness to somebody. First thing you got to do is you got to cause them to be able to understand from the Scripture they're lost. If they don't realize they're lost, they got no need for a Savior. They got to get lost before they're going to get found. That's all there is to it. So there are a lot of people, a lot of young people I've talked to. Well, you know, I was raised in a Christian home. They've never been saved, but they think they're good enough. The Bible declares, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It's absolutely a necessity that you be born again. So, you need a man full of leprosy. And I want to say something here. In order to see a sinner cleansed, you cannot be cleansed in the hog pen.
Amen, brother.
It don't work. What we want to do is we want to keep all of our wickedness and just add Jesus and everything's okay. Don't work that way.
Amen.
If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I'm telling you, there will be a change. I'm certainly not to catch me out. I'm not what I was 33 years ago. I promise you that. I'm not bragging, but I'll tell you, we'd go to the beer joint, me and my brother. He's dead and buried now. Thank God he got saved a couple of years before he died. But me and him go to the beer joint, and the first place we'd come to, we'd just start a big brawl. We didn't care. We just loved to fight. And we usually got whipped, but we enjoyed it. We couldn't fight. And you get drunk, you really can't fight. The guy's 10 feet tall and bulletproof. He thinks he can whip the world, and he can't even whip himself. His wife can get him by the nose and take him home. That's the way it works. But we tried all that righteous living in the hog pen. And I'm telling you, you can't get clean in the hog pen. There's no cleansing agent in hog swill. You remember the prodigal son? There may be a prodigal here tonight that needs to come home. There may be a wayfaring man that needs to get back on the way tonight. Maybe there is. I don't know. I don't know who I'm talking to. If your phone's ringing, answer it, okay? And I don't mean your cell phone either. But the truth is, you will not get clean in the hog pen. There is the deceitfulness of sin.
That's right.
That prodigal son said, give me everything. I've seen Hollywood. I've seen Chicago and New York. I've seen the good life down in Atlanta on Bad Street in Atlanta, GA. That's where the Fabulous Freebirds were from. And I'm going down there to underground Atlanta, and I'm going to check it out. I'm going down to Church Street in Orlando, and I'm going to Hooters. Hey, I've heard all that stuff. I may be an old geezer, but I get around. I preached on Church Street in front of Hooters. I wouldn't advise you to do it. You'll see sights you wish you wouldn't have saw. But I'll tell you what. People see that and they think, man, that's living. I want some of that. That's what the prodigal said. I see it. His heart was over there a long time before his body got there.
Yeah, brother.
As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he.
That's right.
Set your heart toward God, young people.
Amen.
You'll never be sorry.
Amen.
It'll save you a lot of grief.
Amen.
I've walked by the caskets of all of my close friends, and none of them lived to be 40. And had God not saved me, I'd been with them. But that's the facts. There's the deceitfulness of sin. That prodigal thought, man, if I can get over there, I'll have me a time. He was riding around in a stretch limo. He was drinking champagne from a glass slipper. He was smoking weed with a roach clip, man. I mean, a foot long. He was having him a time. And the money ran out. That's the deceitfulness of the thing. There's a payday that goes along with sin. You can enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, and when the season runs out, then you got to pay. That's why guys like Elvis Presley, when they look out there over the horizon and they see all them ships coming in that they loaded up when they were young and sent out, and they see them coming home and they say, uh-oh, ain't got nobody to help me unload this baby. They just pull the plug and take the fast train out of here.
Amen.
They can't handle it. You reap what you sow. That's a universal truth.
Amen.
I beg you, don't turn a deaf ear, honestly. It'll save you a lot of grief.
Amen.
I've spent a lot of time with busted bodies and wrecked automobiles and headaches and backaches and hospital beds. And I've had the treatment. You won't kid me when it comes to alcohol or any other kind of drug. I've had the treatment.
Amen.
Now, you won't kid me. I know what that stuff's all about.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, the best thing you can do is run as fast as you can run and get away from that stuff.
Amen.
And you'll be glad you did. But you can't get clean in the hog pen. Now, leprosy, I said, is a type of sin. I'm just going to preach till I'm done. Just
Amen.
Relax and enjoy yourself, all right? Leprosy in the Old Testament is a type of sin. Now, first of all, it can only be healed by God. Isn't that true?
Amen.
Only God can save a sinner. Is that right?
Amen.
I mean, there are not several ways to heaven, folks. I'm telling you. That bunch of towel heads run around. You know they're full of crap. They wear their diapers on their head.
Yeah.
Listen, that bunch, they're not saved.
Amen.
And that bunch of that red dot we saw up in Washington, that's a gun sight, man.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Amen.
They're not saved.
Yeah.
Hey, you don't reincarnate and come back as a cow or a goat or something.
Right, right.
There is one Savior,
yeah,
one way to heaven,
yeah,
and you're going through Jesus Christ or you're going to bust hell out of it.
Sir.
Amen. Yeah. I love you. Have a nice day.
Amen.
And that'll stand when the world's burning.
Amen.
I'm on the winning side tonight. 33 years ago, I knelt at an old-fashioned altar like this, and I got a bath. On the inside, thank God. Woo-hoo-hoo! You pardon me, but I've never gotten over it.
Amen.
I got clean.
Yeah.
And I know what it feels like to be on the other side. I know what it's like in the hog pen. Don't kid me about how much fun it is. And, well, we're just living it up. No, you're miserable. You just won't admit it. What a man wants, what a soul wants is the living God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. That's what people want. That's why all we need to do is give them the gospel. It'll work. We don't have to put on a shenanigan. We don't have to have a hard rock metal band up here screaming. And I saw something supposed to be a Christian network and this hard rock Christian band. And you can't, they're just screaming. The guy, rah! Scared the fire out of me. I was great. I haven't seen nothing like that. Whatever happened to, I love to tell the story.
Amen.
Whatever happened to God's amazing grace? I'm telling you, there are a lot of great old hymns that'll do the job. We don't need to put on a gimmick. Just preach the book. It'll work. It's worked for 2,000 years. It ain't lost its features now. Just preach it like God said it. But this leprosy, like sin, can only be healed by God. It'll spread if it's not checked. Isn't that true? Evil communications corrupt good manners. You get to hanging out with a raunchy crowd, you get to acting like them. Isn't that right? I've heard Christian young people, before they knew I was a Christian, out here on the job, and I've heard them just blankety-blank this and blankety-blank that, and every word out of their mouth was a curse word. And then you go talk to them, hey, you know what? You ought to see the look on their face. Well, Bob, I'm a Christian. You are. You surely talk like it. Evil. I mean, listen, that stuff will rub off on you. You hang around it. You watch programs where they handle that kind of language. You'll find yourself saying that stuff. It'll rub off on you. By the same token, if you watch the right stuff, listen to the right stuff, it'll rub off on you. But leprosy, it'll spread if it's not checked. It'll pollute houses, clothes, as well as bodies. I mean, sin's the same way. It's infective. It'll spread. Nobody was to touch the leper. This stuff was infective. I mean, highly contagious. I don't want nothing to do with it, would you? I mean, I've seen a guy with his flesh half eat off of him. Stay away from me, man. Forget that. They say, oh, you can't catch AIDS from mosquito bites. I ain't taking no chances. I kill every mosquito I come across. This thing called sin can only be healed. The high priest had to offer the proper blood sacrifice, and then he had to pronounce the sinner clean. Does that sound familiar?
Yes, sir.
The high priest offered the proper blood sacrifice, and then he pronounced the sinner clean. Well, I'm glad I got the right high priest tonight. I'm glad I don't have to go to confess to some guy in a box through a knot hole with a Halloween costume one night. Forget that. My Savior's sitting at the right hand of God. He's the right high priest. And he ever lives to make intercession for us. I read about a man was dying in the hospital. Christian came by and visited him every day, and he would say, is there anything I can do for you? Is there anything I can? He'd ask him that every day. And finally, this man got tired of that after several days, and he said, look, there's nothing you can do for me. I'm dying. And he told him, he said, is there anything that can undo? That fellow had been witnessing to him. Boy, he had a burden of sin and guilt on him. He said, is there anything that can undo? And he had the privilege of telling him about the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, you'll be degraded. The deceitfulness of sin, you'll be deceived by it. You'll find yourself saying and doing things you would to God you'd never done. You'll be deceived by that stuff. And you can even be degraded like the prodigal to where you're down in the hog pen. He couldn't have got any lower. Here's a Jew, and pork is unclean. He can't have anything to do with swine. And here he is down here feeding pigs and ready to eat hog slop.
Yeah.
Now, Jewish, you couldn't have got any lower.
Amen, Lord.
And I'm telling you, a lot of folks will not look up till they get to the bottom.
Right.
And this young man, I met a man one time, just gotten out of the hospital. I didn't even know anything had happened with him and lost. And I began to witness to him, and he was telling me he'd had a heart attack. And he was a relatively young man. And I asked him, I said, well, did you think about where you was going to spend eternity? And he said, well, when you're laying flat on your back, the only way you can look is up. Now, I witnessed to him and gave him gospel tracts, and he didn't get saved that day. I don't know if he did or not. I don't remember. It's been a lot of years ago now. But I know he heard the gospel. But I thought that was a pretty good statement. When you're laying flat on your back, there ain't but one way to look, man. That's up. And sometimes God will put you in that kind of a position because that's what it's going to take. So this man, he was degraded. I mean, you couldn't have got any lower. But it was a good thing because when he came to himself down there in the hog pen, he said, I'm getting out of here and going home. And that's what he did. And he went back to the father's house and he received him as a son and accepted him back into the family. Now, that's good. Because a lot of folks, what they try to do when they wake up down in the hog pen, instead of getting out and getting back to the father's house and getting it right, what they do is just decorate the hog pen.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yes.
They put up curtains and they throw up a lamp and they set a sofa over here. And they're sitting over here in a hog pen with curtains and a lamp and a sofa. Say, man, this ain't so bad. Hey, it's a hog pen. I don't care how you decorate it, it's still a hog pen. And that's sin. People think, well, a little won't hurt you. I know when to quit. No, you don't. Oh, I'm just a social drinker. Sam Jones, you say, a fella can take it or leave it, he'll take it every chance he gets. Boy, ain't that the truth. I like what Billy Sunday used to say. You think you can regulate alcohol? I mean, there's more possibilities of regulating a gunpowder mill in hell. Boy, that's the truth. Now, you cannot get clean in the hog pen. Get out! Get out of the hog pen. Get to the Father's house. That's where the place of blessing is. That's not complicated, is it? Now, if you're here tonight and you've never been saved, you know what you need to do when we get to the invitation part here in a little bit? You need to get down here to this altar and you need to let somebody take a Bible and explain to you and pray with you and you get saved. And you ought to do it tonight. And I promise you, you'll never be sorry. You'll never be sorry. If you're saved and there's something wrong between you and God, you ought to get it right. Get out of the hog pen. Get to the Father's house. That's where the place of blessing is. The son, the only good thing I'll say about the prodigal son, he did what he said he was going to do.
Yeah.
The father's the hero.
Amen.
The son came and to himself and he said, I'm going home and I'm going to say, Father, I've sinned. And he did.
Yeah.
When he got back up there, he said, Father, I have sinned. And the daddy said, come on in, son.
Amen.
Boy, I'm glad it's that way, aren't you?
Yeah.
My goodness. I mean, when I came under conviction and realized I was going to hell and I wanted to get saved, man, I had a load of sin that went back as far as I could remember. I'd been involved in a little bit of everything. And only me and the Lord knows what, and I promise if he wouldn't tell, I wouldn't either. Because I'm not proud of it. And I've done things that today I can't believe I did it. I honestly, you just get so far and wrapped up in sin, you just do stuff and just like you don't have any control. And you certainly don't start out with that intention, I guarantee you. Well, talking about ingredients, the cleansing of a sinner. You got to have a man that's full of leprosy that realizes he can't get clean in the hog pen. He's just dirty. You need a man with the right attitude. Now this man came to Jesus. He had an attitude like Peter had. You look in verse 8 of this chapter. Peter fell down at Jesus' knees and said, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. This man came with a sinner's plea, desiring mercy. That's what he needed to do.
Amen.
Now you think about it. You come to Christ, you don't come bragging, well, Lord, I'm a pretty good fella. You know, you ought to save me. I'm pretty good. No, it ain't that way.
Right.
You come to Christ, hey, I'm a sinner. I need to get saved. I've sinned against God. I've lied. I've cheated. I've stolen. I've got a dirty heart. Well, I mean, I don't know about anybody in this place, but I've heard of even preachers sitting around watching pornography.
Yes, sir.
They don't think anybody knows it, and somehow or another, eventually, they finally get caught. And they've done it for years. And they get in the pulpit and preach, and people wouldn't even realize. I mean, again, help my time. You talk about a dirty heart. And it ain't just preachers. There's a lot of folks that got secrets they don't think anybody knows about. But God doesn't look on the outward appearance. He looks on the heart. And God wants our heart to be clean. That's where it all starts. Well, man had the right attitude. He came with humility. If you compare the three accounts, you'll find that this man came, first of all, he came kneeling. He came worshiping, he came begging, and he came and fell flat on his face.
Amen.
And he said, Lord, if you will. And he said it in faith. He knew God could do it. He said, Lord, if you will, thou canst make me clean.
Amen.
He knew God could do what he wanted done if the Lord would. Now, I knew that. You know, when God convicted me, I was lost and going to hell. I didn't look around and see if there's anybody there to refer the message to. I took it real personal. And I went over here to First Baptist Church in Huntsville out here. I didn't know where else to go. My father-in-law went to church there. I'd never been to church to speak of. Didn't know anything about it. Never read a Bible. But I knew I was lost. And I knew I was going to hell. And I didn't want to go. Now, you can suit yourself. I'm not a bit ashamed of that. I was dumb as a hammer. And I'm not proud of it. But I knew absolutely nothing about religion. But I was sitting all the way in the back seat against the wall, and that preacher got up there and got to preaching, and I thought there wasn't nobody else in there but me. I thought everything he said, he was pointing right at me. And God was just taking my hide off, and I was sitting back there thinking, man, won't you ever shut up? I need to get to the altar. I didn't know you could just go anytime. I thought you had to wait, you know. And so finally the guy gets done preaching, and he says, does anybody want to get saved? Man, I jumped up and ran down there. I didn't wait. I didn't look around.
Amen.
And that fella, he came down. He said, well, what do you want? I said, man, I need to get saved. He said, well, pray. I said, well, how do you pray? And he said, well, just talk to God like you do anybody else. Okay, I can do that. And I said, what do I tell him? He said, you tell him what he knows but wants to hear from you. You're a sinner. And you ask him to forgive your sins, and then you ask Jesus Christ to save you.
Amen.
Now, that sounds real simple, but it works.
Yeah.
And I couldn't have done any better if I'd have stayed on that altar for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
But I knelt down there and I said, God, I'm a blankety blank sinner, and I don't want to go to hell.
Yeah.
And I said, God, forgive my sins. And I said, Jesus Christ, save me.
Amen.
And you know what? I didn't see lightning and I didn't hear thunder and tornadoes didn't blow or none of that stuff like you hear. Simply by faith,
amen,
God saved me.
Amen.
And I knew on the inside, I knew I was clean. I knew it. And I couldn't explain it any better than that. And I got up and I looked around and I thought, glory to God, it's pretty good. And I started out, my wife, I know she had, I joined a church about 3 years earlier. I just went and joined a church. And she was going to divorce me, which she should have. And I thought, well, you know how it goes. I figured I'd keep peace in the family. I'll just join a church. You don't know people's motivation.
Right.
When people come down here, I don't know what they're here for.
Right.
God knows their heart. I don't. And my wife said, what are you going to do now? You know, one of them looks like. And I said, well, I'm going to tell somebody else how to get saved.
Amen.
And about the very next day, I was working with Don Cook in the coal mines, and we were about 2 miles back under a mountain. And there's a little old boy sitting there at dinner time, and I got to preaching to him. And he was down on his knees just bawling like a baby. I mean, big white streaks on his black, cold, dusty face. And he was saying, well, how do you get saved? And I would say, man, just get saved. I didn't know what to tell him. I preached him out of conviction and I couldn't do anything. And as a lost man came by and heard all this, and went up the line and got Donald and said, go down there. That guy needs to get saved. What a blessing, man. I was so stupid. And God used me anyhow. And all y'all that think I'm too rude, mean, and nasty, I've been preaching like this for 33 years, and God's still using me.
Amen.
So don't worry about me. I'll be all right.
Yep.
Worry about yourself.
Amen,
okay?
Brother.
And Don Cook came down there and witnessed to that boy, took a Bible, and I watched him. And I learned when he went through the scripture and said, all right, and here's this and this and this. And he got over here and showed him and said, all right, here's what you got to do. And the old boy prayed and got saved.
Amen.
I ran into him about 2 months ago right out here at the pizza dome. Hadn't seen this guy since. And he said, man, you're a preacher? I didn't even know that. Because at the time, I didn't call me a preacher. I just got saved. I said, yeah, man, I've been preaching 30 years. He said, I can't believe that. I said, I can't either. Boy, it sure is fun. And guess what? He's still saved.
Amen.
But it works.
Yeah.
It really works. Now, aren't you glad tonight you're saved?
Yeah.
Aren't you glad you know what I'm talking about? You know what it is?
Amen.
The cleansing of a sinner. If you're saved, you know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
You ought to be glad. You ought to be happy. You ought to be smiling. Y'all look like a mule eating sawbriars. I've seen that. I have. I mean, I was raised rough on grape rough. I know what that stuff's all about. My daddy never had an automobile. Well, he never had one he could drive, I'll put it that way. He bought one, a 52 Pontiac, and he never learned to drive it. He didn't learn to drive it long enough to run over my nephew with it. That's a blessing. My nephew, you know about this. You know, he's got the distinction. I was run over by a 52 Pontiac. Ah, man, it's so much better to enjoy life, isn't it? Ain't enough this week going to drag you down. You're going to go out here on the job and everything's going to be a mess, and you're just going to feel like throwing stuff and screaming. Happens to me every day. We just well to enjoy our salvation. But I got plugged in. I'm looking at this thing for a long time. I'm talking about forever and forever and forever and forever. I get to the street of gold. I'm going to be kicking up gold dust and run all over glory. I'm going to have me one more some kind of a time. And I'm convinced that a whole lot of you Baptists are going to get converted. You're going to start shouting. Amen. Lord himself's going to descend from heaven with a shout. And it's going to sound like thunder. That thunderstorm came by today. I was sitting at my desk and I was listening on the headphones to some gospel music, and I was reading scripture, and boy, that thing went a boom. I threw them headphones up and said, glory to God, maybe this is the big one. Well, it didn't happen. I'm still here. But this man had the right attitude, humility. He came just like the woman in Matthew 15 that said the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. She took her place as a dog under the master's table. Mephibosheth said, why would you have mercy on such a dead dog as me? Sinners. Well, when you take your rightful place, I'm telling you, it's just so much more fun to enjoy the Lord. I mean, you can put him in his rightful place and everything just works so much better. I'm telling you, it works. You go to work with that attitude, oh, it's so much better. You come to church with that attitude. I mean, really, folks, if you come in here and you're mad at somebody and you're bitter about something, you're the one suffering to start with.
Amen.
Bitterness will eat you alive because they probably don't even know you're mad at them. Well, I mean, people, well, they didn't shake hands with me. Oh, no. Global warming is attacked. Save the what? I know what. Let's all stand on our head and wind our watch. I mean, people are so fickle and nonsense. You may speak to me and I may walk right by you. I can't hear. I mean, if you don't know that, you'll figure it out. I can't hear out of this ear at all, and I've only got 35 cents in this one. I can't hear nothing. I have people all the time. Somebody grabbed me back here the other day and said, well, you can't hear me, can you? I said, no, sir, I can't. I know nothing. I'm still having a lot of fun. Great to be saved. I don't care if I can't hear. I'm still saved. I think I might get me a planting bugle stuff in my ear. It's good to be saved. I mean, good to have a good time in the Lord, ain't it? Why, man, it's almost as good as watching the Three Stooges. It's a heart matter. It is a heart matter. Where a man's treasure is, there will his heart be also. I heard a tape years ago, Lester Roloff had a gathering down in Texas, and I don't remember what it was all about, but he had all of his young people out there singing, and Lester got up leading them. And he said, girls, do you love Jesus? And boy, they start singing, oh yes, we love Jesus. And he said, tell all of Texas why you love Jesus. And they start singing, because he first loved me. Man, I'm telling you, first time I heard that, I had to park my car and get out and run around and shout. Now, I do that sometimes. I enjoy it. I was coming back from a radio station one night, and there was some ladies singing on the broadcast that comes on after me. And they got singing about the blood. And I got over here to the dollar store, and I pulled in the parking lot and parked my car and got out and was running around my car. I'm glad law didn't come by. They probably think I was trying to break in. It just gets good sometimes. It'd do you good to get excited about something like that once in a while instead of, you know, I got a pay raise or I got another bill today or I got my rebate check in the mail or, you know.
Amen.
This stuff we're talking about is real. Don't you want to see sinners cleansed?
Amen.
I know a lot of you do. I know you do. I hope all of you do. If you're here tonight and you're a sinner and you're not cleansed, you can be. And I hope you'll take the cure. A little girl was anxious about her soul. And I'm about done. I'm having a good time. You folks may not be getting a thing out of this, but I'm having me a time. This little girl went to a D.L. Moody revival years ago, and she was under conviction, wanting to get saved. And she went to the altar, and one of the workers came by and said, "Well, you need to read the Bible." And she was down, and she just in amazement. And finally another one came by and said, "Well, you need to pray to God." And this girl, she didn't know, you know, didn't know. She needed somebody to help her with the scripture. And so finally, this little girl just knelt down and said, "God, I cannot read, and God, I cannot pray. You're just going to have to take me as I am." And you know, it's right here, isn't it? We sing the song, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me." That's the truth. The day God saved me, I couldn't have done any better. Honestly, I couldn't. It was so simple, but that was as good as I could have done, possibly, in 100 lifetimes. But it worked. God knew my heart. God knew I really wanted to be clean.
Yeah, amen.
And that's the deal. It's a heart matter.
Amen.
The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart and try the reins, even to give to every man according to his ways and the fruit of his own doing. God knows what you're up to. You ain't fooling him. You can fool mom and dad, sure. You can fool a preacher. You can fool a church congregation, but you can't fool God.
Amen.
He knows what you really are in the recesses of your mind. He knows what you are when you're riding down the highway all by your lonesome, or when you're over here in Knoxville or Second Avenue down there by the Wild Horse or Beale Street or wherever you may be.
Yeah.
I think we'll be in Chattanooga sometime before long on River Bend Festival. We're going to preach to the Black Crows. They talk to angels, at least I've heard. I don't know if I believe that or not, but they say they do. Well, the man had the right plea. Just a leper, but he was a leper in need. And you notice, it was faith. "Lord, if thou wilt," he knew God could do it, "thou canst make me clean." God is not willing that any perish, but all come to repentance. Isn't that a blessing to know that?
Amen.
I can take the gospel out here and give it to anybody. I'm no Calvinist. I don't believe that nonsense. They just certain ones. You know, a fellow not long ago, I had a funeral with him. He was praying, "Oh, sovereign God." I thought, well, you don't believe God's sovereign. Your God can't save nobody. My God save anybody. Oh, sovereign God, stuff it. I'd like to grab somebody like that and just kick them. You can't do stuff like that, but I'd like to. Isn't that nonsense?
Yes, sir, bro.
Well, how do we know all means all? God asked me that one day. I said, because it says all, stupid. Can't you read? A-double-L means all. I know that's deep, but but the man had the right plea. Had nothing to lose. "Lord, if thou wilt." You remember the lepers that were outside the gate and the city of Samaria was besieged and everybody was starving to death on the inside, and there are four lepers sitting outside in the gate and the army's out here and they're just in between. And they're sitting here and they say, "Well, why sit we here till we die? If we go in there, we're going to starve to death with the rest of them. If they'd even let them in. And if we go over here, the Syrians, well, worst thing to do is kill us." So, either way, we're going to be dead. So let's just go over and see if maybe they'll be merciful and take care of us. And the Lord had worked all of that out. In time they got there, the Syrian army had run like turkeys. And they had a feast prepared. And they didn't have to do nothing but sit down and eat. Why sit we here with that? These folks on the outside, and they think it's so terrible. If I get saved, I've just got to quit all of this stuff, and I can't have any fun. That was my idea of Christianity, honestly. Folks, really, I'm about done. Bear with me. I know I've preached a long time tonight, but I'll be done here in a minute. My idea of Christianity, I thought all y'all was a bunch of wimps. I thought Christian men couldn't bust a paper bag. Really, that was my opinion. I thought to be a man, you had to be a beer-drinking, pot-smoking, brawling, car-wrecking, you know. We used to race on the four-lane up here every night, man. We had these souped-up big blocks, and boy, we'd burn rubber and race and wreck and fight, and we just thought we was having us a time. And I thought, Christian, boy, what a bunch of wimps. And you know what? I have learned since God saved me, these Christian women in here are more men than them men out there. Amen. That's the truth. That bunch out there, they ain't got a clue. They think, oh, it's just so terrible. No, it ain't. Come on in, boys. The water's fine. Oh, I'll tell you, I wouldn't trade it for nothing.
Amen.
Being saved, my soul, I've had so much fun. We get talking about some of this street preaching stuff we've done. I've had so much fun, I can't hardly stand it.
Yeah.
And I don't know why God decided to use a bunch of hillbillies out here in the back end of nowhere, but I sure am glad he did.
Amen.
We just had us a time. Up there in Washington, D.C., who would ever thought that? I mean, really, just having us a time. Who knows? I mean, last year, that helicopter pilot for Tim Lee got right. Why, man, what a blessing. Who would ever thought of something like that? I mean, just stuff goes on all the time. It's just great to be saved. I wouldn't want to be anything else. Man had the right plea. Notice, life is short. Don't blow it. What's your life? It's a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then it vanisheth away. Some of y'all are sitting here right now tonight. Some of y'all. I can testify. I saw y'all after you were born. You wasn't no bigger than that.
Yeah.
Now you're in college. Where are you going to be at in another 20 years? You think about that.
Amen.
It goes in a hurry. I'm telling you, only one life that'll soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last.
Amen.
What are you doing for Him? Not me. What are you doing for Him? Not this church. What are you doing for Jesus
Amen.
Christ?
Amen.
It goes by in a hurry. I'm telling you it does. The man came to the right place. He came to the Prince of Peace. Isn't that something? Christianity has one thing all the other religions don't have. A living Savior. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here, but He's risen as He said. He's alive. My God's alive. My Savior's alive. I got a living hope. No matter what happens, my Savior's still alive. And He's not going nowhere. It's not going to change. No matter what comes my way, Jesus Christ is the cleanser. He said He loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Are you clean tonight? The real question, do you want to be clean? The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Are you thirsty? Would you stand? I'd like for us to sing tonight softly and tenderly. Darrell, if you will come, somebody. I certainly can't lead singing, but if somebody will get a hymn, and let's sing softly and tenderly. And if you need to come to the altar tonight, just come. If you've never been saved, somebody here will be glad to take a Bible and explain to you. If you don't understand, be glad to pray with you. But I'm done. I didn't really get finished, but I'm done. And I hope you got something out of it. And while we sing tonight, if you need to come to the altar, just come on. You know what God said to you. Just you be obedient to Him, will you? If you're lost, I beg you, come to the Savior. Come tonight. You'll be glad you did.
Watching for you. remain with your heads bowed, your eyes closed. Angie, continue to play, you and Miss Linda. The preacher's preached tonight, and he's preached. He's called for lepers to come and be cleansed. The right plea, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And the Lord said, I will. I will be thou clean. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, then know this, the Lord, He is willing to cleanse you. Cleanse you by the blood of His own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and take away the stain of sin. Nothing else will remove that horrible stain. You've got to come through the blood. The preacher hasn't just preached to the unsaved tonight. He's also preached to some prodigals. He's preached to some folks who've gotten away from God. Called for you to return out of the pig pen. It's not a literal pig pen. It's figurative. Could be a den of sin in this world, and then again, it could just be a state of your heart. Things are defiled. Things have cooled down between you and God. Things are not right. Tonight, the Lord's calling. Come. He says, I will be thou clean. Don't put Him off. I'll speak honest with every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. I'll speak honest. Listen, my brother Gary was preaching. Young folks, listen to me. My brother Gary was preaching tonight, talking to you young folks. I really felt God was speaking. I know God was speaking to some of you young folks here tonight. The Bible says if you'll hear His voice, harden not your heart. When God goes out of His way to speak to you, that is a blessing. If God was calling your number tonight, you need to respond. You need to recognize this is time well spent for you. We're not in a hurry. There isn't anything more important than us Christians being right with God and sinners being saved. Thank God for the message tonight. That's a good time in the house of God tonight, a good time of preaching. Appreciate Brother Gary bring forth the message. Appreciate the Lord giving him the message. Let me mention this before we break up here and go on. Please remember the Stanfield family, those of you that are heading up that way, if you could just stop in there at West Murley Funeral Home, it'd be a blessing to them. And if not, be praying for the family, please, and try to let them know that you understand about the times they're going through right now, and hold them up in prayer. All right, let's go ahead and be dismissed. And Brother Todd West, if we could get you to dismiss us tonight in prayer.
Thank you. Almost. That's not my name, but I want to learn forward. Cornet Rose.